We're in our second week of a series called Five. And here's our goal, guys. Our goal is for each one of us in this room to take 5 minutes, 5 days a week, and to read through the chapter of the week for the next 5 days. And this week is Deuteronomy chapter 5. So yes, I'm asking you to read the same chapter for 5 days each day this week. Because guys, our goal isn't for us to get through Scripture, but for Scripture to get through us. And so when we're reading 5 minutes a day, the same chapter every day, it begins to get through us. So I want us to read the Bible together as a church, where we're reading the same passages, the same verses, and it begins to get through us. And as God begins to speak to us on the same topic, there's something that's powerful happens as God's speaking through our hearts on the same verses to the same group of people. Again, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. At the end of each week, you're going to have a five-minute devotional like you saw this week on Facebook. And then I want you to get into a connection group because they're, what, Debbie? Five-tastic.
Five-fantastic.
Okay, that didn't go over well at all. So, we're going to move right on. Can you edit that part out? Thank you, Deb. No, I'm joking. We're going to play a little game right here. Who in here knows the Ten Commandments? Anybody know the Ten Commandments? Did you know the average American knows 2.5 of the Ten Commandments? But I know that you guys are a little bit different. So, I'm going to ask you two questions, and you're going to tell me which one is the Ten Commandments, okay? So, thou shalt not gossip, or thou shalt not commit adultery. Which one is one of the Ten Commandments? Who thinks thou shalt not gossip? Anybody think that? Anybody think thou shalt not commit adultery? Which one? Pretty good. We got that one right. Okay. What about this one? Thou shalt not bear false witness, or thou shalt treat others as thou shalt be treated. Which one? Thou shalt not bear false witness. How about the other one? Thou shalt treat others as thou shalt be treated. See, y'all are getting these right. That's just a result of good teaching, good leadership. How about thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, or thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife? Both. Both. That's both. All right. How about this one? Honor your father and your mother, or honor your pastor? Okay. All right. All right. Those things, the Ten Commandments are in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And Moses is talking about several things here, and those go through. But let me give you a little background for Deuteronomy chapter 5 today. Moses is reflecting on the past. Moses is reflecting on the past, and he's writing down some of the things that, you know, that he believes God wants his people to remember and God wants his people to know. And so Moses wrote a portion of the Bible that's called the Pentateuch. And the Pentateuch in the Old Testament is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. Moses wrote those, and at the end of the Pentateuch, the end of the first five books is now where we're at in Deuteronomy, and he's reflecting on the past and wanting to know, or wanting us to remember what God wants his people to know and to remember. So Moses goes through the Ten Commandments, and you can see the Ten Commandments on the screen there. Have no other gods before you. Do not create or worship false images of God. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Observe the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. So those are the things this week, as you go through Deuteronomy 5 each day this week, those are some of the things that you're going to read. But I want us to get us rolling for the sermon and for what we want to cover today. The big idea is this. And we're going to jump down to verse 22. So if you would turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 5, fifth book of the New Bible, and let's read this together. Beginning of verse 22, it said, "The Lord spoke these words to all of you assembled there at the foot of the mountain. He spoke with a loud voice from the heart of the fire, surrounded by clouds and deep darkness. This is all that he said at that time, and he wrote his words on two stone tablets, and he gave them to me." So really what Moses is saying here is he's going, hey, you remember when I went up on the mountain and God spoke and he carved the Ten Commandments and that there was the fire and there was all of that, and I came, you remember that, guys? So he's reflecting back on this moment. So he says, "But when you heard the voice from the heart of the darkness while the mountain was blazing with fire, all of your tribal leaders and elders came to me, and they said, 'Look, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the heart of the fire. Today we have seen that God can speak to us humans, and yet we live. But now, why should we risk death again? If the Lord our God speaks to us again, we will certainly die and be consumed by this awesome fire. Can any living thing hear the voice of the living God from the heart of the fire as we did and yet survive? Here's what he says. Now go yourself and listen to what the Lord our God says. Then come back and tell us what he tells you, and we will listen and obey. If you're taking notes, underline the word obey. Verse 28. The Lord heard the request that you made to me, and he said, I have heard what the people said to you, and they are right. Oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey all of my commands. And if they did, if they obeyed all my commands, they and their descendants would prosper forever. And then he goes on in verse 33, and he says this, stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the lands that you are about to enter and occupy. So today, before we go any further, I just want to say this one thing. If you want to know the big idea for today's passage and for what we're going to cover today in today's message is this. The big idea is obedience. Obedience. And truthfully, the topic in and of itself, Dan, it's simple. We get it. Obey, do what you're told, it's simple. I mean, we all grew up probably in a home where we had some type of authority. They told you to go do this and you did this. They told you not to do that and you didn't do that. Go brush your teeth, it's time for bed, Debbie. And they would brush their teeth and it was time for bed. That we responded to authority. We grew up in a society where there is a structure and there's authority. And when a police officer pulls you over, you pull over. That you are under authority and we understand obedience. We do what we're told. It's easy, right? Except it's not. It's incredibly hard to obey. And to truly obey becomes even more difficult. And I heard someone say this week that the number one problem in all of our lives, the number one issue in all of our lives is the lack of obedience. And the lack of obedience is the same as disobedience. That's the number one problem, leads to the number one issue, that the lack of obedience or disobedience is the number one issue. And the thing in our lives is that some of us are more inclined to obey than others. Some of us have a personality that is more inclined to obey than others. Others have a more rebellious personality, or maybe we grew up in a home with strong parental figures and they taught us to be more inclined to obey, but some have that in us more than others. But I want to ask you today, how many of you in here, you have the personality deep inside to where you don't want to obey, that I'm going to do my own thing, and just because you told me, I'm going to do the op. How many of you have that inside of you? Well, all of us do, really. That is the nature of our humanity and of our sinful nature. But you want to know the truth? That's not a new thing. That's not a new trait in us. In fact, from the beginning, that was a problem, disobedience. With Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that they had one command, Jessica. They had one command, Chris. Don't eat of this tree. Enjoy everything else. Enjoy everything. Have fun. You're going to enjoy life in this incredible place if you just don't eat of this one tree, but you can have everything else. There will be no war. There will be no famine. There will be no divorce. There will be no anything. It'll be peace, afternoon walks in the shade with the Lord. I mean, it's going to be great if you just obey what I've told you, and I told you one thing. And what did they do in the midst of this incredible paradise? What did they do? They did that one thing, and they ate of the one tree that they weren't supposed to eat of. Because they gave into this thought and they gave into the lie that said, if we just can have this one tree, this one fruit, we'll be like God. That we'll know. Really what they thought is, they thought, Aaron, God is trying to hold something back from me that he's trying to hide some fun from me, and that if I just have this tree, that I'm going to be partying and having fun because he's trying to hide some fun from me. And how many times in our own lives do we give into the thought that if I just have this one thing, that I will be like God, that I'm going to be God of my own life, make my own decisions, do my own thing because it is my own life. And that God is just trying to hide some fun from me. So why can't I do this? And we disobey because we want to make our own decisions on our own things. But here's what we need to understand. Is that God created us. God formed us. That he shaped us from the very beginning. And so he knows how we operate. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're feeling. He knows the emotions we're going through. That from the beginning, God understands how we work, how we operate. He knows how we feel. And that God knows that if we go outside of the parameters in which he set for our lives, in which he set up, that he knows that we're going to be hurt because he knows how we operate. And that we're made in his image. And so for us, he says, you're made in my image, and that these are the things that I want you to operate within, that these are the things I want for your life because I love you, not because I hate you, not because I want you to miss out on things, but because I want you to experience the better things in life. And when we operate outside of those parameters, how can we help but miss out on the blessings of God? Because we, like Adam and Eve, we struggle with this whole thing of obeying, and we want to do what we think is best because it's our life. In the Old Testament, there's a great example of this process and this idea of disobedience. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in 1 Samuel 15 is this great, great passage, and it deals with a guy named Saul, who's the king. It deals with a guy named Samuel, who is the prophet of today, the religious leader, the spiritual leader of the country. And this is kind of what's going on here. And what's going on is that Samuel goes to Saul and says, hey, God has spoken to me, and I want you to go fight the Amalekites. I want you to go fight them. I want you to completely defeat the Amalekites. And here's why. Because during the exodus of the Israelites, when they were coming out of generations of slavery and they were going into the land that God had promised for them, the Amalekites gave them trouble, gave them problems. And God was saying, hey, they've really hardened their hearts. There's no chance they're going to turn to me. So I want you to go destroy them and completely win the battle. So here's what happens is that Saul goes, he fights the battle. He wins convincingly. That he goes and he wins the battle, but they don't completely obey. They were supposed to completely wipe out the culture and everything there, but he comes back and he's kept the king alive, and the armies have gone and gotten the best cattle, the best sheep, the best goats, the best rams. They brought all of that back. And that sets the stage for where we're at, beginning in chapter 15, verse 16. We're going to read several verses. Sometimes in preaching school, they tell you not to do this, but we're going to do this because we need to capture what's going on here in the heart of the Lord towards obedience. Here's what it says. Then Samuel, who's the prophet, said to the king, which was Saul, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. Saul asked, what did he tell you? Samuel went on and told him and said, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you as king of Israel, and the Lord has sent you on a mission, and he told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they're all dead. Verse 19, why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what is evil in the Lord's sight? Saul insisted, but I did obey the Lord. I carried out the mission he gave me, and I brought back the king, and I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought back the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And here's where it gets really interesting. Verse 22, but Samuel replied, what's more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And here's what I want to say today in this one portion and jumping right out of scripture and kind of making the point. Partial obedience or delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to write that down. Partial obedience or delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. So an example of that, if you have children today, is that you go to your children and you say, hey, Mally, can you clean your room? Come here, Mally. Can you come up here? Come here, baby. You are so cute. Isn't she a sweetheart? And I go, Mally, would you go clean your room? And I'm using Mally as an example here for two reasons. One, because she's very diligent in cleaning her room. Secondly, because I'm going to talk good about her now, because in a minute I'm going to tell a funny story on her. Mally, would you go clean your room? And she's like, yeah, Dad, I'll go clean my room. And then she leaves and she goes in the other room and sits down and watches TV. She doesn't obey. And maybe her heart was right, but the discipline to follow through. And you're saying, okay, did you clean your room? Well, I thought about cleaning my room, but then I got distracted playing with the dog. Okay, can you go clean your room? Absolutely. She comes back in later. Mally, did you clean your room? Well, I thought about it, but I went and started doing flips on the trampoline. That's great, baby. I'm so glad that you can do flips on the trampoline. Would you go clean your room? Well, yeah, Daddy. But delayed obedience or partial obedience is the same as disobedience. Mally, can you go clean your room? Absolutely. And she gets all of her stuff and she shoves it under the bed and then she pulls the comforter down to where it hides. Partial obedience or delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. Thank you, baby. That we need to understand that today. And so how many of us are that same way with our Heavenly Father to where he says, Dan, I want you to, and you go, absolutely, God, but then you only partially obey or you delay your obedience, which is the same as disobedience. That we're sometimes that way with our Father. Now, let me pause for just a second that when we talk about the Old Testament and we talk about sacrifices and the fat of rams and offering burnt offerings, we're like, what? Because like we talked about last week, we don't follow the law anymore. We don't follow the ceremonial way of worship the way they did in the Old Testament. Christ came, fulfilled all of that for us, became that sacrifice for us. So we follow the New Testament. So we don't totally understand this. And for some of us, it doesn't make sense at all. So let's give a modern day analogy. So that we come in here every weekend. And we come in here and we sit on the front row and we're going, man, that band is good. And Chris and Forrest and Jessica and Celeste and Aaron. And we got our hands raised. Or some of us, or we don't come from hand-raising backgrounds, so we kind of semi-clap. And are we just like, are we just meditative? And we just, oh, God, inside. And like worship is so good and the musicians are good and the lighting and all. And I come in here and I feel God. I come in here, I feel something. I feel revived and refreshed. And oh, I love that song. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so good. How many of you have that song that hits you right here? How many of you have that song? I'm not talking about a love song. I'm talking about worship right now. And they play that song, and we begin to worship to that song, and it feels so good, and you feel, oh, I felt something. In fact, that's one of the number one things we get on communication cards from guests is, I felt something today. I don't quite understand what it was, but I felt something. It's the Holy Spirit. And we come in here, we worship, and we learn, and then we have ushers who help us serve, and we volunteer, and we give, and we grow, and we listen, and that this is a moment to where this is what we do in here, is that we learn and grow and give and serve and worship and all of that, and we're out here going, there's that song, and that song really strikes my heart. And then service is over, we're 75 minutes into it, and we come to the back here, and we go out this door, and we pick up our kids, and we go out to the driveway, and we go out to the parking lot and we're outside and suddenly a switch flips. That man, it felt good in there. Alan, there was that song and that 6'4 frame lifted those hands up and it was blocking the people behind you. They couldn't see the screen. And then we walk out and we get in the car and we drive off, and that for us that nothing has maybe changed, and that what we begin to do, what we did before we came in, we begin to do again. And maybe lust has ruled our heart and we continue to rule our heart. And maybe foul thoughts rule our minds and they continue to rule our minds. And maybe we let foul language roll off our lips with great ease as we've gone out and we begin to do exactly what we did before. Maybe abusive words and actions towards our family. maybe dishonesty on the job. And then we come back in the next week, and we're back to doing what we do on Sundays, and we come in here, and we sit in our spot, the spot where we spilled coffee, so we know it's our spot because we spilled coffee there before, right? You know what I'm talking about? And so we get our spot, and then we worship, and oh, they played that song again, and man, Chris nailed it. Oh, man, Forrest nailed it. Oh, man, they sounded so good. And man, again, the best message I've ever heard. Again, how does he do it every week? Wow. Okay, maybe that's not the case right there. And we're just, and suddenly we go and everything out there is different than it is in here, and we worship and then we go out there. And again, the same things we did before we came in, we're doing after we leave, and that nothing ever changes. And really what God was saying to them, to Samuel is, or to Saul, is that it's better to follow me and obey me out there than it is to come in here and offer the offerings on the altar. And really what he's saying to us today, that God would rather you and I obey him out there in the world than to come in here and lift our hands and give and serve and volunteer and learn and grow and then walk out there and disobey. He would rather us obey than to come in here and to really pretend that we love him and are going to follow him. Partial delayed obedience is really disobedience. And God was just saying to them, if you will obey me, your life will be so much better. You know what I'm talking about? If you have a child, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That Mally, when she was born, was our mildest baby. And we were thinking, oh God, thank you, because we knew that the third baby, we needed the mildest baby. We've got three of them now. Thank God we have a mild child. Thank you, God. But when she turned 20 months, she went from mild to wild. She became a beast. Rah. Mally, we're going to go to the car. And she was like, I'm not going to the car. I mean, it's amazing how she suddenly got attitude and a strut as a 20-month-old. I'm not going to the car. Mally, we're going to the car, baby. No. Mally, we are going. No. And she would, I mean, like everything we say, okay, Mally, put on your jacket, whew, jacket's coming off. Okay, Mally, we're not going in the car. I'm going in the car. She, I mean, everything was like opposite. And so it was like she turned into a beast. And so we were saying, Mally, you know you're going to get a paddling. And so she's like, okay, I'll take the paddling. She may not have said that word for word, but that's exactly what she was doing. And so one time we're taking family portraits that we're doing. And so I don't know how you feel about corporal punishment, but we did it, so just deal with it. They're not having a moral discussion here. We're just telling you what we did, that we did a little paddling. And so we were about to take family pictures, and Mally is like, I will not take picture. We're like, yes, you will, baby. No. Yes. No. And we're like, if you just obey us, you're going to have a better life. If you disobey us, your life will not be as good. And so literally, we have a family portrait where Tamara's hands are behind her, and Mally's got this sullen look on her face because Tamara said, if you take the picture, I have a package of M&Ms for you. Blessing, right? Good, right? If you do not take the picture, I have a wooden spoon in my hand for a paddling. And really what the verse says, oh, that my people will always have a heart like this, to listen and obey my commands. And if they would, them and their children and all the generations would prosper forever. Obedience to the Lord. And he is saying that to obey the Lord with the way that we live and what we do on our jobs and how we treat our families and the things that we view with our eyes and the things that we consume into our bodies and the way that we talk and act and treat others, that it's better to obey God out there than it is to come in here and to worship and not obey out there. Obedience is so simple. We capture it, but it's so hard. And you know that God only disciplines us because he loves us. What's funny is that you know you have preacher's kids when they play church. You catch them in the bedroom or you catch them in the backyard and they're playing church, right? And you know that they're at the church all the time. And so one time when the girls were little and we're in Houston, that we hear them in the backyard, and Tam and I are in the front yard, and they go, "It sounds like they're baptizing people back there." And we go and we peek in the backyard and they're jumping on the trampoline and they're getting off and they filled up this big ice chest with water. And then they would sit in it, but it was just long enough to where they couldn't get in, but their legs were propped up, and they didn't even know, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit." They go, "I baptize you in Father Jesus," boof, and dunk them. And so, you know, McKenna dunks Mally, and then they dunk Madison, and then it comes time for Mally, the youngest one, right? She's the smallest one. You know, if there's ever some sort of wrestling match, Mally loses. But now she's got leverage because her legs are sticking up out of the ice chest, and she goes, "I baptize you," boof, and she holds Madison down, and all of a sudden you see legs kicking. They're playing church. We had baptisms last week, auditorium jam-packed, extra rows, incredible Sunday, right? And God is saying, quit playing church. Obey me out there. That's better than playing church in here. You say, "Man, Michael, you're kind of punching us in the gut." No, I'm just trying to teach you what Deuteronomy 5 is speaking to us here. Don't play church. That we can't expect God's blessings when we walk in a lack of obedience or disobedience to what he's teaching us. So obedience, that's what God is speaking to us today. So let me give you three thoughts on obedience as we close pretty quickly here. Three thoughts on obedience. First of all, it starts with desire. That this is God's response when Moses reflected on the happenings of the past as he's closing out the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He's closing out, reflecting. This is God's response when he gives the Ten Commandments. And he says this in verse 29, "Oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might always fear and obey my commands. If they did this, they and their generations, their descendants would prosper forever." So do you have a desire to obey God? Is there a desire within our hearts to obey what he's speaking to us and what he's done for us? Because if there's no desire, I really have to wonder if we've truly been converted. Because once you've tasted God's grace, the desire in you grows to pursue closer and closer to that. Oh, that they would always have hearts to obey. I'm not just talking about just following the rules. We talked about that. I'm not talking about checking the boxes, went to church, I tipped God, I did a good deed today, I didn't yell at my neighbor today. I'm not talking about keeping the rules, because rules without desire is just dead religion. And guys, we don't want religion. We want a relationship with living God, the God of all creation. And that's what rules without relationship or rules without desire is, nothing but religion. So a desire to follow God, and I'm not talking that we're going to have perfection and never make mistakes and not have moments where we blow it, but desire. So the question is, do you consider God in your life outside of these four walls, outside of this room? Do we consider God? Do we think on God and what he would want for our lives? Do we consider his ways? And how can we expect his blessings when we don't consider him or obey him? But it starts with a desire and it goes with discipline. So if you look at verse 33, the first half of that, it says, "Stay on path so that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow." It sounds easy, just stay on the path. It sounds easy, but it's not always easy. And last week we talked about how Paul was writing back to the church in Galatia and he was saying, hey, you were running the race so well. Who got you off track? Who is holding you back from moving forward? He's saying, don't go back to the law. In other words, he's saying, you know what? You got on track, and it's easy to stay on. We think it's easy to stay on the path, but it's not easy. Stay on the path, and that as we do that is what the Lord is telling us to do. So it goes with desire, and it then moves to discipline. Today, stay on the path. That we have to have the heart backed up with the actions, because partial or delayed obedience is really the same as disobedience. And that when you have the heart desire combined with discipline, it leads us in our lives to the last one, number three, it leads us to discipline. That it leads us to discipline in our lives. Delight. Deuteronomy 5:33. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land that you're about to enter and to occupy. So for us in our lives, that you cannot have delight without discipline and desire. You cannot have delight in the blessings of God without discipline and desire. That we cannot expect God's blessings without obeying him. So the questions I want to ask today as we reflect is, are we obeying God in our jobs? Are we obeying God in our families and how we treat our families? Are we obeying God in the way that we treat our neighbors and love those around us? Are we obeying God with our words and with our lives and with our love and with our attitudes? Are we obeying God? Because it starts with desire, it follows with discipline, and that leads us to delight, that we are obeying the Lord and experiencing blessings from God as we're obeying him. I'm not talking perfection, but I'm talking about a process of following the Lord and having a heart after God. And so today, here's how I want us to close out today. As I want us to pray for a heart or for a desire in our hearts to follow God. Because it all starts with heart. And then as we have to pray for heart, we're going to pray for discipline. Lord, help me have the discipline. And you know what part of the discipline is that we can't have discipline really without considering us reading the Word. So my challenge again is what we talked about. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, read Deuteronomy chapter 5 and read it every day and allow that to soak into us. We're not worried about getting through a ton of Scripture. We're worried about Scripture getting through us. And then it leads us to delight as we walk in the blessings of the Lord. So would you just stand up with me this morning? I want to close out with this. Just a moment to have prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed. That you would say, you know what, Michael? I need prayer of this area. Obedience. That really, you know, for me, goodness, I keep wanting to do my own thing and because it's my own life and my own way, and I really want to have the desire to obey, the heart, because I'm just not sure I have the heart to do it right now. I'm tired, or I'm burned out, or I'm feeling a little stale, or whatever, but I need the desire to obey the Lord, because I'm doing my own thing. I'm obeying. I may be taking too much license, like we talked about last week out of Galatians 5. How many of you say, that's me today? Just raise your hand. I want a desire, a heart to obey the Lord. Yeah, amen. It's good. And how many of you say, you know what? I need some prayer about discipline. I need the discipline to fall through. Maybe the heart's right. Yeah, I'll clean my room, but then I don't. How many of you say, I need some discipline in the room? Would you raise your hands across the auditorium? Amen. It's good. Good. Man, guys, God's got great plans for our lives. So would you pray with me? In fact, I'm going to ask you, if you feel comfortable doing this, grab hands with your neighbor on either side of you, and we're just going to begin to pray. We're going to pray for us, and then we're going to pray for those on either side of us. If you're not comfortable holding hands, that's okay. Don't be offended if the person doesn't hold your hand. I don't. Father, today, I pray for every man and woman in this room. I pray that for every hand that was raised, that they would have a desire, a heart to follow after you, God. And Lord, truly, after we've tasted your grace, after we've crossed the line of faith and we understand your grace, God, that in our hearts, their desires should change. Our desires should be towards you, God. It's not saying we're going to be perfect, but there's a desire that changes from the things of the world to the things of God. And so today, I pray that you would grow our hearts' desire to follow you, grow our hearts' desire to obey you, grow our hearts' desire to be the man and the woman that you created us to be, you're calling us to be, and you're equipping us through your strength to be. Give us a greater desire, God. And Father, I pray for the men and women in this room who raise their hand for the discipline of it all. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the discipline to follow through. Lord, and just starting this week with just a simple 5 minutes a day for 5 days a week, reading, Lord, this one chapter, God. But, Lord, it's much greater than that. And it should grow into something much greater than that, Lord Jesus. The discipline of obeying you and growing in you. The discipline, God, of following you. The discipline of growing into the man you've called us and spoken for us to be. In the heart and in the outside actions, but it all starts with heart, not checking the rules of actions. So Father, today I pray that it would grow into delight, that we'd experience the favor of God, the blessing of God, the peace of God, as we're walking in obedience to God. today, Lord, that chains would be broken of our past. Chains would be broken of past habits and past addictions and past sins. Chains would be broken, Lord, of just that. And that we would, Lord, be obedient to you and walking forward with you. In the name of Jesus.